Today on Real Radio.
For you and I to suffer, it's a gift from God. And all the Bible studies that you've been to and all the stuff that you've learned, God wants to prevent you from being just a theologian. He wants you to take what you've learned and now apply it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 1, begins in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. In these four verses, the Apostle Paul shares with us how to be content in every circumstance we face in life. True riches come from Christ, and what He did on the cross gives us salvation. He is our reason to rejoice in all things, knowing that our names are written in the book of life. So whether we are in want or we have all we need, we can be satisfied in Christ. Today on day three of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that as Christians, our suffering is for a purpose. Paul accepted others' neglectfulness as a lesson learned in following Christ. And we can be certain that whether we're in a session of plenty or in a place of suffering, God loves us and He wants us to lean on Him. And now, continuing his lesson called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This Ancestry.com stuff, you know, you go online, you find your family, if you want to find them. I'm trying to get away from them, I'm thinking. But, you know, you try to find your roots. And, you know, if you start digging around, I don't know if you're going to like what you find. Now, somebody here on staff, they went digging around, and they wound up finding out that they were related to John Adams and somebody on the Mayflower, and that was like his cousin. This guy went over here, and that guy, and he knew this person, and lo and behold, and I'm thinking, what are you working here for then if you got that lineage? And I'm thinking, man, if I trace my roots back, what am I going to find? Here's the deal. The fact of the matter is that as I look at my past, as I look at my existence, whatever it may be, God wants to transform our lives if we are paupers or if we're blue bloods. He wants to do something absolutely amazing. And Paul is saying, what I've learned is unshakable. You can study your history as a family and you may not be sure. It gets kind of vague. But listen, you ought to know, according to the Bible, that you are truly a child of the living God. The Bible says you're to know that. I understand the feeling. You and I feel unworthy. You and I feel like we fail Him. I get that. We all feel that way. The only reason why you can feel that way is because you're in the family. You know Him. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. I am more certain about me being born again than who I'm related to. Because God says so. Paul says, I've learned this. Number two, it's whatever state I'm in. Even California. Whatever state, whatever situation, whatever condition you're in. So listen, is it cancer? Is it a broken relationship? Is the marriage on the brink? Is it over? Is it relational with kids, family? What is it? Is it financial with work? What is it? Whatever it is, whatever, any, all, absolute station or situation. And then the word content. Paul says to be content. Now you might look and say, Jack, this is the Bible. What else is he supposed to say? Excuse me, this is the Bible. The Bible is authored by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit possessed the Apostle Paul, watch, number one, working this stuff out in his life for decades, just like he's doing it in your life. Because don't we want things to happen overnight? Of course we do. God doesn't work that way. It's a process of God working out in this world. Because you are sanctified in heaven, God's working out your practical sanctification here on earth among us. Me with you, you with me. Living with each other, learning to love, learning to deal, learning to cope, learning to lean on God. And Paul says, I'm content. The Holy Spirit grabbed him and authored what you're reading right here in your scripture. And this is incredible because God, who authored the Bible, cannot lie. That's why you cannot find contradictions in the Bible. That's why you cannot find an error in the scripture. God cannot lie. So watch this. God grabs Paul, transforms his life in an instant by putting the kingdom in his heart. He's born again of the Spirit of God, and now he begins to live his life. And all along the way, Paul has the same Old Testament promises that you and I have. But are they true? He had to learn that. So do you and I. Let's be honest. We think, well, you know what? I guess I'm supposed to trust. You know, Christians just trust. Listen, that's not how you approach it. God is so wonderful. He says, trust me. And watch. He will give you life. Hello, listen, are you listening? He will give you the opportunity to live life so that as you go through it, he'll tap you on the shoulder and then say to you, I told you you could trust me. You know what I'm talking about? You just got to go out there and live it. And he'll say, hey, remember that verse? Told you. Because he can't lie. He's God. And Paul says, yeah, I've learned how to be content in any situation. You say, well, he didn't have cancer. Well, he didn't have my problems. Well, let's look at some of his problems. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, I probably have to end here because it's huge. 2 Corinthians 11. By the way, think about this. Look in the screens. Is this a resume for the pastor that you'd like to hire? Paul is defending himself because he's being attacked by the legalists. They're saying, he's not real. Look at him. His life, he's a joke. He's not very good looking for one thing. He's a little puny guy. And when he speaks, it sounds like somebody's dragging their fingernails across the chalkboard. We, on the other hand, we're great orators. We are the polished ones. And he was confronting the Judaizers. They believed that to be born again was to trust in Jesus, but to also keep elements of the law. Then you would be super saved. Stay away from people who invite you to be super saved. It's always turned out to be a small cult group that will mess you up. Are they servants of Christ? He's being sarcastic. I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, put in prison more often. Can you imagine your pastor being, hey, we're going to hire this guy. Why? He's been in prison more than any other pastor we know. Been whipped times without number and faced death again and again. Verse 24, 5 different times the Jewish leaders, the hierarchy, gave me 39 slashes or lashes. That's cat of nine tails, ripping him open. 3 times I was beaten with rods, you know, caning, like they do in the Philippines and certain Asian countries, getting whipped with bamboo. By the way, it's normally from the buttocks, by the waist, down on the rear end to the back of the knees. I was stoned once, not on drugs. This is not a verse for California. This is rocks. These are rocks. He was thrown rocks. In fact, we believe from other portions of scripture that it was that stoning where he actually died and God revived him. We can talk about that some other day, but I believe in that stoning once he's referring to, he actually died. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Okay, stop right there for a second. I can understand being shipwrecked once. Would you get on a ship again? Imagine today, 3 times I survived airplane crashes. Are you gonna get on another plane? Paul would probably say, not for vacation, but I would just share the gospel. If God got me on the plane, I'd go share the gospel. Can you imagine, honestly, come on, let's not deify these guys. Paul got on the boat a second time. Do you think he was thinking about the whole trip, especially when it got stormy? Oh, man, I know how this goes. Listen, look at all the stuff you and I avoid because we know what it's like. When the doctor says, Jack, this is going to be a little uncomfortable. That means you're gonna scream for your mama and it's gonna hurt so bad. Whenever they say a little uncomfortable, it's not good news. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea, floating on a board. He's just bobbing up and down in the Mediterranean. The apostle of God who met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Ladies and gentlemen, these bozos you see on TV, send me your money. God wants me rich. And he wants you rich if you send me your money. I'm not an Einstein or anything, but that math doesn't work. I'm supposed to send him my money and I'm get rich? Why doesn't he send me his money so I can get rich? Take a $100 bill. Take a $100 bill, they say. Take a $100 bill and tear out the little portion, the little edge. And you hold that part and you send me the big part. No, I'm really, you can watch it and send me the big part. And you watch by faith, that corner will grow into a mighty, mighty savings account. No. If you're the great instructor, I'll tear off the little portion. I'll send you the little speck and I'll hang on to the big part. And then you can fund your ministry. You just plant that little edge in the ground and you can fund your ministry. Stop begging for money. It's disgusting. Listen, any non-Christians in here, I'm with you. Looks like God's broke. How can God save you when he's broke? You listen to these people. You got to send your money to this ministry going off the air. Let it go. Didn't Elsa say that? Let it go. It's ridiculous. Unbelievable. This is Paul. I'm floating around in the ocean. And never once do you record, you see him saying, God, why'd you pick me to do this? He never complains. He's not complaining even in this, in 2 Corinthians 11. He's encouraging us. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger, watch this, from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles, all non-Jews. Man, where do you go? The Jews hate him and the non-Jews hate him. I have faced danger in the cities and in the deserts and on the seas. I have faced dangers from men who claim to be believers, that hurts, and are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold on a New York City subway without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, if that weren't enough, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches that he had started. This is the apostle. What am I saying to you, Christians? For you and I to suffer, it's a gift from God. Because listen, you can only go this far. Christian, listen, if you're a Christian today, you can only go this far with God. And then something's going to go on in life, because it happens in life, believer or non-believer. Something happens in life. And all the Bible studies that you've been to and all the stuff that you've learned, God wants to prevent you from being just a theologian. He wants you to take what you've learned and now apply it to this trauma. Why would he do that? Listen. Because he absolutely loves you and he's preparing you for heaven. That doesn't sound like heaven to me. We're not there yet. Listen, somehow in eternity, I don't know how it works. He's building character that will somehow translate in your life into your existence in heaven. Don't ask me how. I don't get it myself. But what you and I suffer as a believer in leaning on the word of God and knowing, as you'll know next week, that in suffering, it is the grace of God that because just as Christ suffered, we are to suffer also. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead and the glory that was his, so by suffering, the same glory shall be ours. You say, well, I want the glory. Then let's go. And as we go, serving him, doing him, all around the world announcing him, being him to a lost world. That amazing grace and power and contentment will be ours. We'll be absolutely satisfied because as this happens, we can only go to this point. From here on out, it can only be put in us by suffering, hardship, difficulty, and sufferings. And I know the temptation to say, well, I'm not going to come next week. I'll come a few weeks after that. I don't want to hear about this. Listen, you're going to suffer. And I want to make sure that you have enough bullets in your chamber or enough tools in your box. When it comes, and it's coming. So don't say that. My mom, growing up, all her pagan gods of the Polynesians, it's crazy. Don't say that, because if you say it, it's going to happen. That's how I grew up. Don't say that. If you say it, it's going to happen. No, it's not how it works. God is not voodoo. It's all going to happen. So that when it's happening, and I'll end with this. True story. A couple weeks ago, this sweet guy in the foyer said, "Pastor, I got to tell you something. Doctor came and told me you have cancer and it's bad. I want you to go to this guy. You need to call him." So he did. And the guy said, "It's bad. It's so bad, you need to call this guy. It's that bad." So he went to that guy. Big guy. The guy comes out, he does whatever he does. He comes out and he said, "What are you doing here?" And he goes, "Because I'm dying." And he said, "I can't believe this. This is ridiculous." The guy just kind of goes off. It was really kind of cool because the doctor was just like, he didn't care. He had no bedside manners. He's the top of the dude in the universe at what he does. So he doesn't care. He just says, "I don't know who you saw to bring you here to my office, but I looked at your stuff and I analyzed all this stuff. You ain't got nothing. This thing right here is a deal that has to do with arthritis and it causes this thing to happen. And if you got this speck right here, this speck ain't going anywhere. It's nothing. It's a protein thing right here. Just get out of my office. I got serious people to take care of." And the guy was, he's completely, completely healthy. But it was funny because he said, "Man, when I heard that, I felt sick." Right? The first guy, "Man, you're sick." "Oh, I am sick." And then it's like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh." Right? Number two, he said, "Why did God do that?" I said, "I don't know. How am I supposed to know? Like a newspaper? I don't know. I don't know. God's ways. I don't know." But then I found out. He said, "Yeah, it was weird anyway. I don't know." To me, she's like, "A complete loss, weird, but I just figured, man, if I'm dying, I'm just going to share the Lord with that technician." So I shared the Lord with the technician. I shared the Lord with the nurse. Shared the Lord with every doctor I saw. That guy, I thought that other guy, the last guy, they're going to throw me out of my office. Throw me out of his office. I was just sharing the Lord. And I go, "You what?" He goes, "I was just sharing the Lord because I, you know, they told me I was dying." And I go, "Then you know what? Just stay dead then." "No, you need to stay dead. You went around telling people because they convinced you," and I agree, I probably would have been the same way. "They convinced you, you're dead. Man, it's bad. It's so bad. You got to go to this guy over there in West LA. It's bad." It turns out to be nothing. All along the way, the guy's thinking it's bad. He's sharing the gospel with people. Now I see why. Now I told him, I said, "I actually do have the answer." All of this supposed sickness that you were feeling and they were telling you that you had, it's clearly because God wanted you to be an evangelist to these people. Have you ever shared Christ before? Never shared him before to people. And I go, "Then listen, you need to stay dead." No, really, you need to stay dead and keep telling people. Suffering can also take the other route. I shared with you a couple weeks ago that on a Sunday afternoon, a young man in this church, a fixture at this church, had been battling cancer for 5 years, and we would say, lost his battle with cancer. He didn't lose his battle with cancer. His witness to that floor at City of Hope was amazing. There were Christians on the floor because of his presence. There were Christians, by the way, there were Christian doctors and nurses who did not know that that nurse was or that doctor was a Christian until he came on the floor. They found out from his witness that they found out from one another, "You're a believer too? I'm a believer." Isn't that something? And let me ask you this. Remember, we are slaves of the living God. Amen. Slaves have no words. Slaves have no opinions. Slaves have no rights. So Jesus Christ could say to you and I at any given time, "You're going to open up that envelope, and a course is going to begin, a journey. The whole thing is in my hands. I'm organizing this. Because you're mine, I'm going to be working in multiple facets. Number one, I'm going to work in you a work that you can't get from any university, seminary, or from the school of hard knocks. I'm doing this in you. And in the day of eternity, it's going to really benefit you. You'll be happy. You will say in that day, thank you for it, God. And as I use you, people are going to be affected. Some people, like Billy Graham, preach behind pulpits for decades. Other people preach in a hospital room. Other people preach in rehab. Other people, as the world watches, they're watching your financial collapse. And you're okay. Because you've learned that in whatever situation you're in, to be content. Next week, we're going to unpack and go and finish this contentment. How can we have it? How can we get rich quick? It's all about Jesus truly, totally reigning in your life. And that can change in a second. Both, for those of you who are not Christians, for those of you who are, when Jesus comes and sets up camp, you'll never be thirsty again. You'll never be hungry again. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your life. We thank you for the cross. I'm sure no one stood that day while you were hanging on the cross. I'm sure no one said, thank you for the cross. It was only later did we understand, did we come to know that whatever sin we've ever committed, wherever we tried to seek or find contentment in the things of this world, we have now come to know that it's at the cross. That Jesus died there for our sins, mine and yours, and he rose again from the dead to provide you eternal life. He broke the grave, and you don't need to go there. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, the resurrected God, the sacrifice. And may we leave this building today hunting people down to attack them with the love of God, to show them acts of compassion.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you allow God to build you in a Christ-like character in the midst of your suffering. You know, we don't spend a lot of time asking you for your hard-earned money to help support this program, but we'd just like you to know that we are completely backed by you, our listeners. Thank you for your continued support. And if you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do that at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and find out how you can financially support this ministry. So, Pastor Jack, I'm getting pretty excited. You use the words healthy diet. And when it comes to church, I mean, there's so many churches that get on one subject and that's it. That's what they talk about.
Yeah.
We're getting into a thing here coming up in the next few months. One night a month. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we're going to be doing one night a month beginning in September. In fact, specifically, it's September 20th, October 25th, and November 15th, Wednesday nights, all of them. At 7 o'clock Pacific time, we are going to do something we've never done here before. I'm a little concerned with the direction that people are going regarding current events and Bible prophecy.
Right.
And so what we want to do is lay down 30 minutes up front regarding the doctrines of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to take the following 30 minutes. So the second segment of 30 minutes, we're going to be looking at current events, if they fit or if they matter. But we're not going to hype anything up. We're not going to create news, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And then the last 30 minutes, you'll be able to interact with us via texting your question to us. It's going to be a very special time. Consider it this, church/classroom/an interactive evening regarding these days in which we live in and what the Bible has to say, answering your concerns.
It's going to be a great time, September 20th, October 25th, and November 15th. I have already set those three nights aside in my calendar. I am not going to miss it. Hope you can be there too. Go to our website to find out more, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.